just a bunch of crap.
I'm ready.
All right, guys. What's up, Toasters?
What's going on, guys?
We are back.
Episode 2.
Back at it again, son. This is The Unpopular Opinion, where we have a casual conversation over controversial topics. Today, we want to cover something that hits home, you know? Something that's been rustling the leaves lately. And that is the airstrike we posed on Iran. I know we're biting off pretty big chunks here, but... we're going to get right down to it. Basically, we kind of want to go over, you know, the history of it all and how it came about, right?
Right, yeah.
And
put it in context.
It's about, like we said, our journey here is getting the facts for you guys and doing the research for you so you don't get these power, greed, hungry media machines telling you maybe the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at.
It seems like everybody today has an agenda one way or the other, so there's conflicting reports about the same exact issue,
same topic. Yeah,
so.
I agree with that.
Just trying to lay it out there straight as much as we can.
So yeah, a recap of U.S. history with Iran.
Yeah.
You know what? To get us started, I might say, I don't know, I was told it happened, like it was from, what, 79? When did this all come about?
We're going to go back a little bit further. 1953. Oh.
Holy crap. Get your time machine, guys. Back to the future.
Get your history books out. Take some notes. So, in 1953, the CIA, in their first covert clandestine operation during peacetime, this is their first operation to overthrow a regime. And they were basically, well, they didn't overthrow the regime. They were trying to keep it in place. So, in 1953, there was... what's called Operation Ajax. It's the first action taken by the CIA to go over a foreign government. And the pro-Western monarch was on the side of the U.S. It was a Western ally. And they wanted to keep him in power.
Pro-Western monarch.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of weird. Because we don't really go for monarchs very much in the West, except for like U.K.
Hold on. What is that? What is a monarch, you say?
A monarch is a king or queen.
Okay, thank you. Yep. Obviously.
Easy.
Yeah, I totally knew that.
So, they had a duly elected prime minister, right? And we were like, the prime minister at the time in 53, they were like, well, we're not really, the U.S. said, we're not really a fan of this guy, and we need to get rid of him. So, they kind of, I don't want to say overthrew the prime minister, but they made it to where that the prime minister had a lot less power, and that essentially the Shah, the king of Iran, had all the power, and he was a American ally, so we were like, it's best interest of our country if this guy stays in power over there, because Iran, they've got their hands in everybody's salad in the Middle East. I mean, they've got their fingers everywhere, you know, their fingerprints are all over the place in the Middle East. So, it's if you affect Iran, it's gonna spread and trickle to
all throughout the Middle East.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
gonna happen. Well,
yeah.
You know, I feel like you could say the same thing about America and Canada and Mexico, right? I mean, you affect America, wouldn't you affect Mexico and Canada, or no?
But we're not in not really. So, in Iran, they're funding. They're funding Houthi rebels in Yemen. They're funding the Assad regime
now,
and giving them intelligence. And
we're not funding like drug cartels.
Exactly.
Whatever. It'd be like there's quarrels there, but yeah.
It'd literally be like us. I mean, yeah. I mean, kind of are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you don't want to say anything, but you know.
But yeah, it's like it'd be like us. Literally, it'd be like the U.S. government being like, "Here's $10 million to the Medellin cartel."
Holy crap!
Yeah.
I get you. Wow, and giving, that's crazy.
I mean, we literally gave them guns, but that's a whole other subject for another day.
Yeah, but that was because of a agent went rogue. No?
Nope.
Wait. Oh, no, it wasn't. Oh, yeah. Okay,
Fast
so
and Furious freaking, is what we're talking about.
American Made, right?
Mm-hmm.
That movie? Awesome movie. That's like how, what it's about, right?
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Tom Cruise like heads out and goes, and he's like sending guns to the rebel cartel. Pretty awesome movie, to be honest. I don't like Tom Cruise that much.
Huh.
But he ends up getting tons of money and starts smuggling drugs instead of guns. That's how it happened. It was based on a true story. I don't freaking know.
Ooh,
but that's a rabbit trail. Anyway, yeah, dude. So they were doing this crap. Middle East is like all intertwined. If you affect Iran, you affect everybody. That's where
exactly.
we're at right now.
Yeah.
There was a monarch. There was a king. U.S. wants the king.
Yeah, we want the king. We're cool. Tossing out the duly
1953 still,
which is
54,
exactly
five,
yeah
cool.
yeah 53. So it's weird because the U.S. is so like pro democracy, pro republic.
Yeah,
but here we're like, oh, this duly elected prime minister. We don't want this guy. We want the king.
I mean, it seems
it's weird,
like,
but it's in the best interest of the U.S.
Exactly. That's how I don't think that they care about anything
ideologically. They don't care. Yeah. It's the CIA. They don't care at all.
It's
they want what's best
exactly.
for the U.S. So,
well, because like later we overthrow one of the democratic elected leaders of Iran. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
later. That's later. Whatever.
Let's get to it. 1979. Yeah.
What happens in between? Then, holy shit! That's a lot of. It's a lot of time.
Pretty much, we were cool with Iran from 53 to 79. We had good trade, good relations. They were part of the UN. I mean, they still are, but we had open relations with them. Then 1978 happens. February of 1978, the Iranian Revolution begins, and that lasts until January of 79. So it lasts, I don't know how long is that, 11 months. Which is a pretty solid revolution. If it lasted 2 months, it wasn't going to be anything. But this is a total regime change in Iran. Like, it went from the Shah, which is like the king, supported U.S., to a theocracy. And a theocracy is a government that's subject to religion, essentially. Like Israel is a theocracy, Iran is a theocracy because it's an Islamic Republic of Iran. It's an Islamic state, and Israel is a Jewish state. America is a secular state. We don't have any. I mean, we call it the separation of church and state, but it means that it's essentially no establishment of religion.
Right.
That's in our constitution because of English history. But another rabbit hole. But essentially. So we're very secular when it comes to our government. We don't let.
Yeah, I mean, and then you have people that might be like, "Well, why is under In God We Trust on the American dollar?" And
well, that's
like
not
that,
an establishment,
you know
what I mean? Of religion, is it?
Oof. See, I agree. I'm there. That's, I'm just, you know.
Yeah, no.
I'm spewing out the words of these
exactly.
people.
Exactly.
You know?
It's all about the establishment of religion for the U.S. Anyway,
cool.
So that happens shortly after the Iranian oil crisis happens. Oil prices doubled in 12 months, which is pretty crazy. The supply only shrunk 4% globally, but everyone panicked and freaked out, so the price just doubled in a year. It wasn't as long-lasting or as severe as the 74 oil crisis, which OPEC basically said, we're not going to give the U.S. any oil.
And there was like rations and stuff, right? That's
yeah.
what you're talking about?
Yeah, it was like...
That's crazy.
Yeah, that long happened. Lines at the that gas happened? Pump. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you got to remember all this stuff and put it in context. So after that, the Iranian hostage crisis happened. We had a bunch of, obviously, we had an embassy in Tehran, which is the capital of Iran, and 444 Americans, no, sorry, 53 Americans were held.
The ending result, right? That was like who got out.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the beginning number is, because I read the same stuff like, it said there was hostages.
Everyone,
53
guys. All the hostages
all got
lived.
Out.
Yeah,
all of them got out.
Yeah,
for 444 days.
444 days.
Crazy,
they were held
dude.
Hostage in a foreign country,
right?
Because Iranians basically came to our embassy and captured
saying,
it.
Hey,
yeah.
we're gonna do this. And what's even crazier is the day they got out.
Yes, January 20th, 1981, the day Ronald Reagan was inaugurated as president.
That's just, why? You know, that just seems
weird. There's actually a couple of reasons. The main reason is Reagan was not going to take any BS from Iran. Like, Carter was pretty much a passive. Carter and Obama have a lot in common, and so do Trump and Reagan when it comes to their foreign policy.
Oh, okay, wow.
And domestic policy, really. They're pretty similar presidents, in my opinion.
Well, and just to say it, you know, everyone regards Reagan as one of the greatest. So.
Yeah, he was. I mean, especially when it came to foreign policy. He is a pretty sharp. I mean, he didn't get us entangled in any permanent foreign affairs. He ended the Cold War.
Speaking of this kind of stuff, I definitely think that, like, this hindsight 2020 thing plays a huge role.
Absolutely applies. Yeah.
Because I'm sure during Reagan's presidency, people probably hated him.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, it's almost like
you compare it to Trump, and it's kind of the same thing that's going on right now.
There was almost like a derangement syndrome where they didn't like him so much, or they didn't trust him so much because he was a Hollywood actor or whatever.
Right.
They were like, no, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And they just had the blinders on, you know?
Yeah.
You just got to be open to what they're doing and look at the big picture. Look at the big picture. Look at what happened and what's going to happen. And
right, and that is staying toasty. So, that's a good description. Anyway, keep going.
So, they get out in 1981. So, before they get out, though, President Carter was really trying his best to get the hostages freed. He sent in an operation which failed miserably. Eight Americans were killed, and one Iranian civilian was killed. Hostages were not freed, and that was the end of it. We lost, you know, several million dollars and pretty much all.
What? Okay, hold on. Several million dollars?
Heck yeah. To go into the Middle East and do a covert operation to free 50 some odd hostages. Yeah, it's going to cost millions for sure. After that. So
sorry, I'm still dumbfounded. I'm just like soaking in this $1 million. I don't know,
A lot has happened. Okay, so anyway. since 1980 to present, there have been no diplomatic relations with Iran. No formal diplomatic relations. So what we do is we don't have a US embassy in Tehran, and Iran does not have an Iranian embassy in Washington, D.C. Like, North Korea has an embassy in D.C. Iran does not.
So what we do is,
in the U.S., Pakistan is Iranian's envoy. So if, like, let's say an Iranian citizen gets in trouble, he can go to the Pakistani embassy and claim asylum, right? Because it's like a proxy for Iran. Now, Switzerland acts as our safeguard. So the Swiss embassy in Tehran is also for Americans. They're kind of like the, I don't want to talk to you, I'm gonna pass a note to Switzerland and they're gonna give it to Iran. That's what we do.
Yeah,
that's what we've done since 1980.
That's so dumb.
It's dumb, but it's like, you know.
But what are you gonna do? You know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
I guess
who's gonna be
I
the
guess
big?
I get it, but like, it's not. It's every president too. It's just like it's U.S. has just been this weird back and forth thing,
mm-hmm.
and he said, she said, and you know, and no, you attacked our plane, and it was in our territory, but it was in international waters. Like, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
like, what the heck?
Yeah, with the drone being downed.
But it doesn't make any sense. Like,
it was not an international. Well, actually, it may have been, but I mean, it's probably right on the border. You know,
yeah,
and they just shot it down to provoke us. That's the main reason.
Thumb
in the eye, kind of a thing.
Interesting.
But when it comes to the tit for tat, America has always been kind of the more aggressive, I guess, the more successful country. Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at the recent strike. We killed their top general, probably the most powerful military commander
like
in the Middle East.
Sounds like the younger brother or the younger sibling, you know?
Yeah.
Always like, because like, oh, he hit me and nothing happened. And then your mom's like, hey, don't do that to the older sibling.
Pretty much. And then like, the older sibling just totally gets away with
me.
It.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She wasn't ready. Yeah, anyway.
But I don't even remember where I was.
Well, we were at the point where you said we're at we haven't had any formal relations with them since 80.
Since 1980.
So where do you want to begin now? I mean, we've got, what about this Soleimani dude or Salamander dude or whatever his name is? What about him?
You can say Soleimani or Soleimani.
Soleimani.
I mean, Khamenei is the supreme leader.
Soleimani.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, yeah. Sorry, dude. I'm coming up with some good stuff.
It's cool. Yeah. No, that's great. That's
cool.
Yeah,
dude. Cool. So who's Soleimani? How did that happen?
So in 1979, this we're going to rewind again and then fast forward.
That's
quick.
Good. Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring it up.
In 79, this guy joins the Revolutionary Guard, which is like this new ultra-military wing of the Iranian government, right? Islamic Revolutionary Guard. So you have to be Islamic. You have to be Muslim. Iran is known for being fairly oppressive to minority religions, like Christians and Jews.
Right.
They come.
Yeah, I've definitely heard about that.
Basically, they come straight to the U.S. or to Israel or wherever they can get to safely.
Yeah.
Which is basically like opposite end of the world. So Soleimani joins the Revolutionary Guard in 79. He works his way up to be a commander in his early 20s or mid 20s. He keeps going and eventually becomes the supreme general of the Quds Force, which is think of like there's not really a U.S. equivalent. Think of like Navy SEALs plus CIA combined. Very powerful. All over the region, because they're not really Iran's. Wow. Not, I wouldn't say Iran's much of a global power.
How many like branches of anything do they have for military?
They just have the Islamic Revolutionary Guard,
and then the Quds Force.
The Quds Force is like a section of that.
Oh, okay. So it is like the special forces section,
exactly.
But it happens to be CIA and Navy SEALs basically
combined.
It's just big enough, right?
Yeah.
Is it by size? Is that why you said that? Or is it just because of the
No, it's because of the operations
have.
That they do.
Oh,
they do like
okay,
covert
you.
Operations, and they also do
yeah.
specific military strikes. Like the Navy SEALs specifically went in and killed Osama bin Laden.
Right. Because yeah,
Force
yeah.
would do something similar.
I got you. Okay,
right?
Interesting. Cool.
He's also in charge of like funding different organizations. Like he funded, Soleimani funded the Assad regime in Syria. He funded Houthi rebels in Yemen. Which is another civil war. So there's Yemen and there's Syria, both ongoing civil wars right now that are happening right now. Lots of civilians dying. It's a really, really tragic situation in both countries. And Iran is making both countries way worse.
Holy crap.
Yeah. They're also vehemently against Israel, obviously, if you don't know that. They threaten destruction of Israel almost daily. And they don't like Americans just as much. So this is mostly the Iranian government. The people are kind of like us, like Iranian people and American people. We're kind of cool with each other, but Americans' view of Iranian government is really bad, and Iranians' view of American government is really bad. Like 90% of each don't like each other's governments. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And Iran is a very industrious and populous and that's what I'm looking for. A developed country. It's got 95% literacy rate.
It's interesting, like you say that, because it's just it's always this thing of like people, you know, why are we doing this to this country or something, you know?
Yeah,
but
and it's been back and
it's
forth
like, what if
since
it's just both. There's parties in both places saying the same things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy, man. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Like imagine if you're, well, okay, this will get way too deep. you're in a quarrel with like family for years, you know?
Yeah, that's like, what it's like. It's like
it's just it's, like constant back and forth and mm-hmm. drama this, drama that, and I'm not the guy. That's why I don't understand it. Because if
yeah.
there's anything, I'm gonna literally just say it. But I don't know. You know, maybe I'm just different. I've never been the one to be able to drag that kind of thing out.
It's a very complicated relationship because on one hand, we. Like you mentioned before the episode started, in 2001, we worked very closely with Iran to wipe out the Taliban in Afghanistan because it was a mutual
okay,
enemy.
Yeah, let's go to that. So we're working closely with them, trying to get that done. Meanwhile, George W. Bush,
a year later,
State of the Union is like,
mm-hmm.
well, they're the axis of evil, his quotes.
Yeah, he said they're part of the axis of evil.
Which includes, what, North Korea? And
yeah, yeah. All the bad countries, bad actors
know,
at the
man.
Time.
He says that and it ruins it. And like we were talking about earlier, I'm not sure why he would do that.
I think
was his boy, the CIA guy, just like what the hell, you know, like what is he doing?
Probably.
Whoa! I didn't know my president was going to do that. I'm sorry. And he's like in the country, like
I would imagine so know? Because I mean George W. kind of spoke off the cuff a lot, kind of like Trump does. But George Bush didn't think things through as well as Trump. Like Trump has a lot of bluster, and he'll exaggerate, and he'll say, "Oh, we might attack cultural sites in Iran," but he's not going to. He wants the enemy to think he might. I mean, he's a very he's a blustery person, but he's a very measured president. If that makes sense.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I get that.
He can separate that.
So what? What about?
But yeah, after 2002, Iran was like, "Yeah, we're not going to help you at all anymore."
So what did Clinton do in this time? That's before 2002, right?
Right? Clinton was president in the 90s, and he... I really don't know much about the relationship. I'm sure it was it was fairly cooled off. Clinton, his foreign policy was like, I don't want to deal with conflict as much, you know? It was more like, I want to help... He was more of a domestic president, if that makes sense. Kind of like Obama was. He didn't want to deal with it. He wanted to kind of push it aside and allow Iran to be Iran as long as it didn't affect us too much, you know? And it was a fairly, everybody had a good economic time in the 90s. There was a very, everybody was working and everything, the prices were low. Economic outcome was very high. So for everybody, almost globally.
Right. Well, and then the dot-com bubble happened. That's beside the point. So, cool. After that, so 2002 rolls around, we're dealing with the Taliban.
Yeah. And Iran was like, we're not going to help you with the Taliban anymore. So we kind of were on our own.
Okay. Okay, that doesn't make any sense to me. Well, so Iran is like, okay, we're gonna back off, even though it's like literally Middle East stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Taliban has to do with the Middle East.
Oh yeah, and Taliban was a
it's all up to you guys now. That doesn't make any sense to me. They're the closest ones to it.
Yeah,
like, just because George whatever Bush was like this and that, and
called us an axis of evil, blah blah.
He's like, you know what? We're not gonna help you with this anymore, even though it's on our own turf, pretty much. Right?
Pretty close. Yeah.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird to me.
Well, I don't know how much the Taliban were affecting Iran. I don't know.
Okay.
But I know that they were mutual enemies with...
Maybe you're right. Maybe it was just like they were just chilling in the country, not doing anything, and then they were like threatening a lot of stuff to us, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Whole terrorist thing.
But...
Okay, cool. So, yeah, 2002, we're there. When does the nuclear stuff happen? Actually, is there anything else we need to know about first?
So, there's always been little things here and there. Shoot downs. Really, let's just fast forward to 2015, the JCPOA. because there's just been little tit for tat.
And it's just been happening, right? Back and forth.
Yeah, not many casualties. Maybe one person died here and there. And it's like... eye for an eye for the most part.
Meanwhile, Salamander is still doing his thing, right?
He's still being a boss militarily. He was a pretty great general when it came down to it. So was Hitler. So, I'm not trying to say he's a good guy. Okay. He's a good commander.
Yeah. So he's still doing the same thing, though. He's still funding these people that aren't so good.
Yep.
Blah, blah, Yemen, Syria.
He's causing a lot of unrest in the Middle East. And he's basically what he's doing is causing unrest in all of the surrounding countries so that Iran can be in charge and all-powerful.
Hmm.
They're a highly developed country, and they want to keep everybody else down so that they stay up, essentially. And, then Israel came into existence and became a powerhouse overnight, essentially.
I'm not going to lie. Israel is like...
Yeah, fantastic military, fantastic economy, democracy. They've got a couple of... little issues here and there, but for the most part, they're a pretty solid country. So Iran is basically trying to throw everybody off so that they can succeed.
2015.
Yeah, 2015. What is it? Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA, gets signed. The U.S. leads the way and is like, okay, look, if you stop making nuclear weapons, because we know you're enriching uranium. We know you're trying to build a nuclear weapon.
So by this time, they already had this enrichment plant for uranium and all that stuff built, right?
Yeah, they were going. Were going hard. And we had sanctions.
Did we have a nuclear deal at this point?
No, we had sanctioned the Iranian government at this point. We were like, you got to limit your...
Well, not only us, though, right? So European Union.
Europe.
United Nations or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And who else? Was it Russia or not Russia? I don't... Someone else. I thought there was someone else. Maybe not.
Mostly Europe and us and a lot of UN countries.
All right.
So they signed that in 2015. Everything's going fairly smoothly. Iran basically is just not complying with it, though. They're like, oh, yeah, we're complying with it. And then behind their back, they're like, centrifuges are going crazy, and they're enriching uranium very quickly. Yeah, it didn't do much. And then,
holy crap.
And then, as President Trump likes to say, we sent them, literally, this is not an exaggeration, we sent them pallets of cash, like just $1.8 billion in cash, straight cash. Like, whatever currency they wanted, I don't know what it was $1.8 billion, and then like another $180 billion in unfrozen assets. Basically, what? Yeah. We gave them all of that.
Wait, what you're saying this out of where?
From the JCPOA. They were like, oh yeah, we'll stop enriching uranium. We'll stop building nuclear weapons. And then we were like, okay, well, all of the sanctions are lifted. All of them lifted. And we're going to give you $1.8 billion in cash delivered at night in a big C-130.
What?
That actually happened. Look it
okay,
up.
Okay, hold on. No, Google you're good. It. I believe it. But like, yeah, Google that-ish. But like, I'm saying like, what the heck, man? I can't even wrap my head around it. So... We believed them, first of all, yeah. What the heck? And second of all, we just go ahead and like, okay, totally, yeah, you got it, no worries, and then send them over.
Y'all are trustworthy? Yeah, no, they're obviously not. Like, they haven't been since
I'm not sure how 79, that works. 80. Was that a loan?
No.
That was just straight up, here
I was
you go?
Like, here's my cash.
So we could we see it as like, we used money we got from China to...
Pretty much, yeah. Shouldn't we be paying back our debt to China with that money?
Yeah.
China's like, hey, yeah, where's our cut? You know,
I need to listen to the Toasty podcast.
Learn how to money manage. So since they weren't complying with it and Europe was not enforcing it at all, President Trump basically was like, we're going to pull out of that. It's his prerogative as president because... It's not a treaty. The Congress didn't sign it. They didn't ratify
right.
it.
Right. So he's pulling out of us lifting the sanctions.
He's pulling out of the deal. He pulled out of the deal completely and reimposed all of the sanctions. Now you can't have your money back.
So I saw
back.
That he was also encouraging our allies to be like, get out too. Everyone get out. We're just going to make a new one, right?
Yep.
Make a new thing.
That's his plan. And that's what he's done with NAFTA too. He basically pulled out of NAFTA, said that's a junk deal. It's outdated.
You know what would be amazing?
And redid
it. This is obviously a whole different topic, but we might talk about this later or whatever. If he's like doing this thing where, you know, he's already on the way to it, the NAFTA thing, and then this sanction or whatever, he wants to just redo the whole thing. What if he starts and he finally gets to our country and he's like, all right, now we get to redo our programs, you know? And he just freaking... revamps all of that'd be amazing. We just talked about the last episode of this unpopular opinion was about how it is hard for government programs to be lifted and gone and taken away,
dismantled. Yeah,
right. It is very hard. I guess not. You know, I say hard. It's not necessarily hard. Probably it's just that it never happens because they need to get elected. Right.
Yeah. It's
people don't want that. Yeah, apparently, I'm not sure.
It's politically challenging.
Cool. So it'd be crazy if that was going to happen. Anyway, that's just a little speculation for 2020. The freaking price slasher Trump out here. But so that's where we're at. So 2015 through what? When is the sanction? So now he lifted it 2018. He was done, right?
All of the sanctions were reimposed plus some new ones.
Yeah.
And because they were spinning uranium, like we can't have that happen. Like we don't need them. We don't need another bad actor getting nuclear weapons like North Korea. Who do you think they're going to use them on? They're going to use them on Israel.
Yeah.
So can't do that. So, yeah, after Trump withdraws, Iran's pretty upset because, I mean, you're talking hundreds of billions of dollars in assets, which is like whatever they export, oil mostly, is frozen. Like, they can't export it to Europe. They certainly can't export it to us. And the U.S. basically says, like, look, Uruguay, you want to deal with the U.S.? You want a lot of our products? You can't buy anything from Iran, like nothing. And they did that not only to Uruguay, that's just a random country. They did it to every country, France, Great Britain, you know, any UN country, essentially, which is over 200 countries.
Wow, holy crap.
Yeah, that's a lot. So after that happened, tensions escalate pretty rapidly. They start spinning uranium
So we're in like openly like mid 2018 now.
Yeah, mid to late 2018. I think it was May is when we pulled out of the deal. So mid 2018, they just start openly spinning uranium quickly.
Where do we get that info? You know, is it what? How do we know?
I don't know.
Like rebels or?
No, it's mostly just spies. We infiltrate the Iranian government and they tell the CIA and that's how we know. We've got people in
I mean, I believe you. It's hard to wrap your mind around it, you know what I mean? It really is like the whole world is a movie, you know? And it's like, man,
truth is stranger than fiction. It's stranger than fiction. So yeah, that's how we know is we've got agents everywhere,
right,
doing all sorts of stuff, infiltrating the highest levels of government, and it's Iranian citizens, you know.
Yeah,
been in the government for 20 years, but he's a CIA agent at the same time, so it happens.
Holy crap, dude.
Yeah, that's how we know a lot of this stuff, and it's like we can't tell other countries because then we'll give away how we learned about it. We can't be telling
I agree.
So okay, so 2019, last year.
Mm-hmm.
Weird to think about that.
Is that where we're at now? Is we're getting close?
We're getting close. Oh, so
wait, let me get ready. Juicy deets, dude. All right.
Not to be confused with juicy beets. Those are gross. So
you don't like beets? Have you had pickled beets?
No.
Pickled beets, dude. That's my guy. Okay. Pickled beets, man. Pickled beets.
That's an unpopular opinion. But anyway.
I mean, you know, small town country guy, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway.
All right, Dwight. Anyway.
Dwight, dude. Shit. Beet farmer.
So, gosh, what happened first? So, yeah, we pull out of the JCPOA. We increase sanctions. Iran's pissed. They're like, what the hell, guys? Like, we just wanted to make nuclear bombs and sell everybody oil. Why can't we do that?
Yeah.
So,
that's all you wanted to do?
Yeah, that's it. No big deal. So, they shoot down a drone. We're pissed. They start blocking the Strait of Hormuz, which is like the main way for them and us to import and export goods to the Middle East, like to Saudi Arabia, to Iran, to Iraq. Yeah, it's a very popular passageway for ships, cargo ships.
Wow.
They blockade it. They even take a British ship and seize it. They take a big British tanker and take control of it by force, which is literally an act of war. And
holy crap, dude.
Yeah.
Well, what happens then? No one does anything? We're just kind of like, what the hell? In the middle of the
nobody wants a war in the Middle East again, you know? Like, geez. But enough of that.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I agree with that. And that's, I don't think people understand that. Like,
and there's like 80 million people in Iran.
No matter who the president is, I'm not sure there's a person that actually wants war. Specifically with the Middle East.
Yeah, besides Dick Cheney, no. Nobody wants a war with the Middle East.
Right.
But he had his reasons. So it's just escalation after escalation. And then finally we're like, look, we've got a good opportunity to kill Soleimani. We're going to do it. He's literally the most powerful military figure in the region. I mean, of the 12 countries in the Middle East or whatever it is, he is the guy. He's the guy that's pulling all the strings. Putting money here.
I mean, it sounds like commanding forces are right. You know, he seems like the guy, right?
Absolutely.
If he's actually funding all of these like programs,
let me put it to you like this: do you think that after we killed Soleimani in the airstrike in Iraq, which, real quick side note, we had perfect legal authority to do that because one, the UN designated him as a terrorist, and so did the U.S. Soleimani specifically as a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
Iraq allows us to intervene in their country militarily.
Okay.
Basically because of 9/11.
Right.
And
really?
Yeah.
Are they like, that, like, we, is we it have, like apology, apologizing or something?
No, we, it's just that there were, bad actors in Iraq, just like there were bad actors in Afghanistan and Pakistan, but Pakistan did not let us kill Osama bin Laden. They were pissed that we did that.
Oh.
Because we just went into...
I know. That's what I'm like, saying. So like, Iraq is like, you can do this because of 9/11, as you were saying?
Long story short, yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay, cool. Keep going.
Yep. So we had perfect legal authority to go in there and kill the guy. So we did. And it was a pretty perfect operation.
Right. I mean,
almost no civilians were killed. We killed a guy and like one other commander or something, and that was it.
So, I mean, but you said, do you think, and then you're like, hey, side note.
Oh, do you think that if Soleimani was still alive,
yeah,
that Iran's retaliation of 12 to 15 missiles, whatever it was, striking the U.S. base, there were no casualties. No Iraqis were killed, no Americans were killed, and it's a joint base, joint military base. Do you think that, let's just say we killed somebody else, do you think that if Soleimani was alive, they would have killed people? I think so. I think that he knew so much. He knew where to strike. He knew who to ask where to strike, where the missiles need to hit. Because the missiles hit a part of the base that nobody was at, obviously, because nobody was killed or even injured.
Wait, hold on one second. So I'm not following. So the missiles you're talking about
from Iran
are after this airstrike we did?
Yes. So
okay,
I didn't.
I'm sorry. I'm not following. I didn't know the turn of events.
Yeah.
Chain of events.
So yeah, I kind of jumped around a little bit. So
no, you're good. All right.
We kill Soleimani.
Yeah.
And then they airstrike us.
They retaliate, right?
Yeah, with 12 to 15 missiles.
They hit something.
They
that
hit
we
a
don't
bunch
even,
of
no
sand.
One was even there.
They hit nothing.
Oh, okay. And you're saying if Salamander was alive,
yes,
he would have been able to be like, that's where you hit him.
Yeah. He would have been like, no, go north like a mile.
But you would think, yeah, but come on. I mean, you'd think they'd have people smart enough to figure that out on their own.
Well, that's
you can't have one person that knows all of it, right?
Well, that's the thing is if one person knows all of it and he's the guy, he gets to stay in charge. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
If he's that powerful, then Iran is like, the other leaders of Iran are like, well, this is the only guy that knows.
Forget,
so we gotta
not,
keep him.
I mean, it's not American government, you know?
Heck
not,
no.
Yeah,
oh,
not,
no.
Yeah.
It's,
okay, so, but leading up to that, we had a drone strike. We had them covering the strait, blocking the strait. What else did we have?
They seized the British oil tanker.
So then it's a three, and then that's it?
And then, I want to say they shot down something else, maybe? I don't remember.
Commercial airline?
They
actually
did.
Was there a commercial airline
did.
In there at some point? I thought I heard
yes.
that, you know?
Yes, so
Facebook, you know?
So a Ukrainian airliner was leaving Tehran, the international airport in Tehran, the same time the missile strikes were happening.
Okay.
And this plane gets shot down.
And oh.
Iran is like, we
on
did.
The retaliation.
Yeah. Iran is
okay,
like,
so
we
you
didn't
said
do
it,
that.
It, well, see... Okay.
But they
so
did.
They did hit something. They hit a freaking commercial airline.
Yeah. 170 some odd people, civilians, normal people, Ukrainians, Iranians were killed.
What the heck?
Yeah.
I haven't all I saw was a headline. I didn't see
Ukraine has been under some tough situations because man, they've got Crimea's been taken from them. They've had like three commercial airliners shot down.
Yeah.
With this latest one, it's bad. Like Russia shot down a Ukrainian airliner like
what the heck?
2016 or something like that. Killed like almost 200 people.
Oh my gosh, dude. Okay, so
sucks.
But what we're getting at is the fact that there was a huge chain of events leading up to this thing. That
absolutely.
Happened, right.
And the past half century.
Right. And that's
leading
what,
up to this.
That's what I can see that.
And
now.
we've been close to war with Iran so many times. But it's like Iran knows it's not mutually assured destruction like it was with Russia. It's assured destruction of Iran. Like we will completely obliterate their whole country. I mean, their economy has. So let me put it to you like this. You'll understand this part. So you'll relate is what
I'll
I should say.
Understand
you'll part. Relate to it well.
I'm just
so
I'm not
so
offended.
The GDP growth in America is what? 3%? 3.5%?
Yeah, right.
And we're like 3.2%. We can do better. We want like 4%, right? Right?
4% growth GDP.
Yeah, that's I mean, good. That's as long yeah. as we're beating inflation, we're happy, right?
Right.
Iran's economy dipped 9% last year.
Well, they had a deep recession that happened, right?
Yeah. Because of the sanctions that we put on.
Right.
Now, imagine more sanctions for longer.
Yeah.
I mean, their economy is going to keep shrinking. It's projected to shrink 20% this year.
How much?
20%.
Okay.
Well, ours grows 3% every year.
GDP, yeah.
Yeah. Their GDP is going to shrink 20% this year if all those sanctions are still in effect.
And that's yeah, I mean, I agree with you. 80... There's not really a way. I mean, we don't have to go to war with them, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
There's not.
Money is more
thing,
important
is,
than
you know,
lives for a lot
like,
of people.
people have this weird image in their head, like, yeah, maybe a nuclear war could happen, I guess, at some point. But they have this weird image.
Yeah, not with Iran. They don't have any nukes yet.
Right, right. And they have this weird image in their head that, like, it's like Fallout 3 out there. Or, mm-hmm. like, you have another World War II, but it's called World War III, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that'll even happen.
So, I mean, it would be, it'd be Russia, Iran, North Korea, and China versus 200 other countries. I mean, South America would be pretty pacifist. Africa would be pretty pacifist just because they don't have any militaries at all in those continents, you know? But all of Europe, Canada, U.S., and then a few Middle Eastern countries would all be very against the quote-unquote axis of evil of Iran, Russia, China, and North Korea. And that's it. It's just those four countries. There's nothing really else that they
Well, you say it's only those four countries, but like...
Who else is going to join them?
They seem pretty big. No, I know, but the countries are huge.
Yeah. I mean, North Korea has a bigger military than us, but they're all starving.
Oh.
That's sad.
But like Russia as a whole is bigger, but they don't really have that many population, right?
Yeah. We're the third most populous country in the world. Our military numbers over 2 million people.
And then everyone was talking about like, oh, we're going to get drafted. Get ready, guys.
That's so absurd because, first of all, we have over 500,000 reservists.
Right. No,
you know,
yeah,
that are willing to go in at any
time.
I'm
not sure. Yeah, exactly. And I'm not
even close to a draft, which is unconstitutional, but that's beside the point. unpopular opinion. They have no hope. They have 500,000 people. They have no aircraft carriers. We have 20 aircraft carriers. 20. So if we just sent a quarter of our fleet over there, it'd be so overwhelming that they would have to surrender within 6 months.
Well, yeah, you were telling me the other day, I think, China has one, like, old aircraft carrier.
One old crappy one that they...
And it's, like, retired or whatever.
Yeah, it's, like, half cardboard. Like
retired one thing. That sucked. Anyway. it's crazy, dude.
Yeah, Russia's got a halfway decent military, but at the same time, all the sanctions we've been imposing on Russia, you think they're spending money on the military? No, they're not. They're trying to keep their citizens happy because.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah.
They've got nothing.
Here's a good little rabbit trail. I heard today that. Okay, this is not going to go good because I don't know the names of the guys. I was reading Ray Dalio's book, Life, Principles of Life and Work, right? And he talks about some meeting he had, or dinner actually he had with the guy. Apparently, I guess he was the head of the Fed. Federal Reserve at the time,
okay.
or something. He was something.
When was it?
Some political guy. I don't know. It was probably late 90s.
Alan Greenspan?
Huh?
Is it Alan Greenspan?
Ooh. Sounds familiar. Don't quote me on this crap, dude.
I know all the feds.
The point I was going to say is that he said one of the greatest leaders in his mind right now, and that was at that time, I don't know what, in the 90s or whatever, Vladimir Putin. Was the guy. And I was like, what the hell? Because, you know...
He's a boss.
You hear all this bad press about him.
Well, yeah, he's pretty
because
evil.
Because he's kind of like evil, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not sure because the way the guy described it is like, well, he does this, this, and this. He's like, he's a good leader.
Well, all Vladimir Putin wants, his pure motivation is to make Russia a better country. That is his pure motivation.
Well, okay.
And to be the greatest Russian leader. Yeah, to be the greatest Russian leader of all time.
This guy is actually trying
to. He is undoubtedly the greatest Russian leader of all time, in my opinion. I mean, Stalin was probably second.
Not super familiar with Russian leaders, so I can't really comment. But, yeah.
But, I mean, Putin's been so effective for the last 25 years, you know? I mean, he was president of Russia when Bill Clinton was president of the United States, to put it in perspective.
Oh, they don't have terms.
Well, they do, but he skirted around that a little bit. So they have, in Russia, you can serve two consecutive terms. You can serve as many terms as you want, but you can only serve two consecutive ones at a time. That
right.
makes sense. So they're 4-year terms. So he, like a president, like a U.S. president, he serves 8 years. And then Dmitry Medvedev, his number two, served 4. And then he went back on and served another 8.
So he's just telling his right-hand man what to do. Yeah, dude, that's
exactly.
crazy. But, I mean, smart. I mean, he's gotten around all the little rules or whatever.
Still there. He's probably the richest man in the world. I mean, when you think about his assets, which are undeclared because it's Russia, he probably is worth like between $100 and $200 billion. Which,
yeah, to put that in perspective, Jeff Bezos is $132 billion. So
yeah,
it's wow, crazy.
He's very possibly the richest person on Earth.
Yeah,
and most powerful in Northern Asia for sure. I mean,
see, that's my point. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of this dude, you know, deciding, you know what, U.S., you suck, you know, and going crazy.
He's,
you know,
too smart for that.
And or he'll be like, what if they switch? Oh, dude, what if they flopped, you know? We're not allies with Iran anymore, huh? You know, that wouldn't happen, I don't think. No. What does it take? What does it take to be an ally? What does it take? We just ask somebody? We just ask them, hey, you want to be friends? Like, how does that work?
It takes a lot of similar interests. And the thing is, they're such a powerful country, and so are we. We're not going to have that many similar interests. We just want power. We want control over that region.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yeah, well, that makes sense.
It's mostly economics.
Well,
trade deals.
Okay. I think we about hit it. You know, I think we hit it pretty good. We just gave you a little bit of a brief history of Iran and the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And we, I mean, we got to the point. We got to the up here to now. We're here.
Yeah.
In the present now. And I think maybe gives you a different perspective on it.
I hope so. And to throw in some more context, it's not like Trump woke up the morning of January 3rd and was like, you know, I think I'm going to kill Soleimani today. Soleimani's been sanctioned by the U.S. since 2007. Personally sanctioned, not just the country or whatever. Like, Soleimani was named and sanctioned himself. Like, you cannot...
Yeah.
Go to these countries. You cannot buy this stuff. You cannot sell this stuff. Your Swiss bank account is hereby frozen. Whatever.
Right.
You know, whatever we can control, we control them. Hmm. By the way, a lot of them have foreign bank accounts that we were just like, look, you're not going to be allowed to have this. You're not going to be allowed to access these funds while you're doing this shenanigans.
That is so weird. We can control that. That is so weird. We can just be like, all right, you're not in it.
The Swiss government helped us out. I mean, it's a mutually beneficial thing for us and European countries or United Nations countries that we impose these sanctions, you know? So he's been personally sanctioned since 07. He's been funding terrorists, literally terrorists, like Hezbollah is a very much a terrorist organization in several different countries. Houthis in Yemen are pretty rotten, you know, actors, killing civilians, that sort of thing. Fun fact. This is pretty interesting. So in 1999, there was an Iranian student rebellion, right?
Yeah.
A lot of college kids were like, what the heck are we doing? Like, the internet just popped up and we just see everybody else is super free and we're suppressed. We can't.
Wait, what? The internet just popped up when?
In the 90s, late 90s. Oh, okay. 99 right. Student rebellion. So
student rebellion?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they're saying, like, look, we've got all these other free countries. Like, we want freedom. We want to be able to choose our religion and choose where we go to school and choose what we do for a profession. And
this is where it kind of hits home. Like, you know, we are in a blessed, awesome, like, country that has, you know,
very
tons of
free
liberty. And,
yeah, liberty is huge.
And it's
here.
Interesting, you know. Whatever.
It's so foreign to us as Americans people, thinking that you can't choose your religion.
Right. And people need to, you got to look at that, like, big picture
yeah,
of stuff.
Exactly.
You know?
Look at how the Iranian government treats their people. So, anyway,
America's
so.
Great. Anyway,
99 student rebellion. President, what was his name? President Khatani, I think. Khatani?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm calling him Salamander, so I think you're good. We'll call him Khatana.
Khatana. President Khatana of Iran. So the student rebellion happens, and Soleimani is a powerful general at this point.
Yeah.
He's like in his late 30s, early 40s by this time, I'm guessing. He was 62 when he was killed this year, so I don't know, 99, do the math. He goes to the president and says, look, bud, you're going to shut this down via the military.
Yeah.
He's in charge of the military. He's like, you're going to shut this down, the rebellion, or we're going to form a coup and you're going to be gone. Imagine if Jim Mattis was like, look, President Trump, if you don't shut down these Black Lives Matter protests, we're going to form a coup and out you as president. Like,
how does that work,
me?
Though, you know? Like,
that's how powerful Soleimani was.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, like, that's in 1999, he was powerful enough.
We can't even get a president impeached correctly here.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Imagine Nancy Pelosi being like, look, if you don't shut down this rebellion, I'm going to oust you as president.
That was an amazing Pelosi voice. All right.
Good luck. Good luck. This guy was serious. Soleimani was like, look, Katana, you're gonna be overthrown as president if you don't do what I say.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, general in charge of the president, that's a pretty powerful dude.
I mean,
And Khamenei, the Ayatollah Khamenei, has always been on Soleimani's side. He's been very close to the supreme leader, and that's how he gets his way. Because the president is almost symbolic. He's mostly in charge of domestic policy, and it's like, president's not really a big role in Iran. The supreme leader gets the ultimate say. Because it's an autocracy. It's whatever he says goes. It's a theocratic autocracy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it'd be like, it's like the Pope in Vatican City, you know?
Those are intense times over there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What
do you do?
I don't know, man. I don't know what you do. I can't say I'm, you know, I won't tell you I agree with killing people, but I also know that there are enemies of the world sometimes, mm-hmm. you know?
It's a rock and a hard place.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I hate how, like, now, you know, you've got people that are fueled by it to be against Trump still or against whoever or whatever, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? It gives you almost like a reason to start a fight in our own country, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What
bothers me is a lot of media in America is portraying Soleimani as this, like, really brave, awesome guy.
You say that.
And he was a brave guy, but he wasn't awesome. He was a pretty bad person.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I just read his Wikipedia page, right? Because, you know.
Research.
American consumer, I hear. Yeah, research, right? Anyway, it literally was like, he is wildly known? Very well known? Something like that. As a world hero.
Oh.
The words, I was like, what?
Oh,
I didn't
world
know.
Hero, that's...
It's weird.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure why or where they got that from. It was in quotes, too, so...
Huh.
I don't know, man. That's weird. But if, according to these facts we got and these, like, the research we've done, he doesn't seem like a world hero.
No, I mean, he was a great military leader, but how many people did he save?
Right.
I don't know. Not many. Mostly just a military commander.
Yeah, and it just seems like Iran is in literally the same place they've been in since
79. Yep.
Like, they haven't...
They are.
What? I mean...
Politically,
yeah,
they are.
We said, yes, they're developed. We know that, yes, they are developed, and that's great, but, like...
Yeah, they got good colleges
nothing
and
is
stuff.
Like, nothing is, like... Where's that progression, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They haven't progressed on the world stage at all.
Right. I'm not sure. And they're still playing these, like, freaking games with us, you know, and it just doesn't make any sense, you know? And nuclear power is not the reason. It is not the reason that they're not progressing, right?
No.
And even if they might say that or whatever, or maybe, you know, that's one of the only things they don't have because of us
yeah.
and other countries.
And
really.
if they wanted nuclear power, they can buy I don't know anything about nuclear technology, to be honest with you, but they can buy the nuclear material it takes to run power plants and build power plants. They can buy all that from France, no problem.
So what's like, the nuclear sanction? And they just can't make weapons?
They can't enrich uranium to make a nuclear weapon. Yeah, it's two different. It's two different, totally two different types of radioactive material.
Right. Okay,
one,
I understand.
One for a bomb, okay. One for a nuclear fission that's controlled in a reactor.
That's good to know. I didn't know that. Cool.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
It's something like 80% of France's power comes from nuclear energy.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you want to talk nuclear power, just go to your... I mean, they're like pretty close to France, so it's not that big a deal.
Well, we've hit almost an hour, and I think we've hit it. You know, I think we've got it.
Yeah.
So we've done fun facts again. We've come around again. Sorry, we just keep talking, whatever. Get over it. If you guys like this, share it, obviously. Subscribe,
yeah.
Always. And, you know, let us know in the comments if you're for or against, you know, or use
yeah.
the little voting thingies on YouTube. I don't know, whatever. Also, I'm on podcast form now, so Spotify, iTunes, you know, Google, all of those. Subscribe and rate us. Give us a review. As always,
let us know how we're doing.
Send me an email at skyday@skyfi.co. Apparently, if I get 10 emails from you guys, then Matt will create an email as well. Let's see, what else? I got a Twitter, if you want to use that. It's up to y'all.
Twitter.
Twitter's kind of toxic, but it's whatever. Other than that, guys, as always, stay toasty.
Stay toasty, guys.